hold this one?
You have to press and hold both.
We're on.
And actually recording. All right. Okay. So I love this quote on the front, on the first page of the chapter. When you worry, you're saying in effect, God, I just don't think I can trust you. Worry strikes a blow at the person and character of God. And that is so true. I found another quote by Michael DeMontaigne. He said, my life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened. And I thought that was appropriate too. One thing you'll learn from me, about me, is that when I teach, I like to define terms. So before we start, would anyone like to venture to define fear?
I went to a seminar. Mm-hmm. False evidence appearing real. Hmm. What was that? False evidence appearing real. FBAR.
Okay.
FBAR.
Oh, wow. That's good. I like to go back to Webster. He says, fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. So it can also be a profound reverence and awe, especially toward God. And I love that that's still in our current dictionaries. How about anxiety? Anyone like to venture to define anxiety? Very similar to fear. Come on, anybody.
Fear.
Fear. Okay. Yeah. That is. Anybody else? No? It's kind of hard to work on something if you don't know what it actually is. But, okay. Webster says it's apprehensive uneasiness or nervousness, usually over an impending or anticipated ill, an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physical signs, by doubt concerning the reality and nature of the threat, and by self-doubt about one's capacity to cope with it. And that's important, those doubts. Because if you feel like you can handle whatever you think is coming, you don't fear, you're not anxious, it's the doubt. And we know Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not from faith is sin. Okay. The first paragraph here says that fear is one of the most predominant issues young wives and mothers battle. Do you agree with that? Why do you think that's true? Why do you think that is?
Because it's something new, it's something you've never experienced before. You know, when you're first married, you don't know, you know the way he's going to react or do something, mm-hmm. or what he wants. I think that's why it's such a big factor when you first get married. Mm-hmm. Or when you first become a mom, I mean, you don't know
anything. Basically. Yeah, that's a really, really good point.
Fear of failure, I think, mm-hmm. for marriage and for babies. Mm-hmm. I think that's
a really good point. My biggest fear was, I think ever since my husband, they kind of stopped telling me that after getting married, I will become like a housewife. But when I grew up, my mom always told me as a woman, you need to have a job, because she never had a job, so she was a victim of the marriage because of the unfaithful husband. So it was kind of, I had a fear. I was like, wow, what am I going to do? Yes, I will be my husband. That, you know, if he asked me to stop teaching, I will, but what am I going to do? So I was really afraid of almost good 1-2 years.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
Fear of the unknown, what's going to happen? Like, baby stop crying, does it have SIDS, or, you know, just like, variations. You want to be in control of everything.
Oh, that's a really good point too. Yeah. So it is a lot of unknowns. You just don't know, and so you're fearful, and that's excellent point. Excellent. Has that been true for you? For all of you? At one point or another? I think you probably wouldn't be human if you had no fears at all. So it's probably, we've all experienced that to one degree or another. So very appropriate chapter here. Okay. The big point in here, and I love how it's written that you just, we're going to cut to the chase, it's sin. So obviously if it's sin, it's something we need to work on and battle against and figure out how to overcome. Which, of course, we're going to use the Word of God for. So there were some scriptures there about putting off the deeds of the flesh and through the Holy Spirit bearing his righteous fruit. And I really liked Romans 8:15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And that is very key, very key. And it is true that not all fear is sin. What is a good fear to have?
Fear of the Lord.
I'm sorry?
Fear of the Lord.
Fear of the Lord, absolutely. What about other fears? What fears are good to have?
Fears of snakes.
You saw my Instagram post. I'm not afraid of snakes.
Oh,
the poisonous ones, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point, though. A fear of snakes. That's a healthy fear, especially when it's a diamondback. Yeah, you should be afraid of it. That's a good thing. You can't be arrogant and oh, it's not going to bite me. That makes no sense. So, yeah, there are lots of common things. Amber.
Strange men in the grocery store trying to talk to your daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I think they don't really understand the boundaries in our culture today.
Yeah.
And, you know,
That's
they want to get in your bubble. And I just have a strong wall built up, you know, from experiences from my childhood and my mom's fear and anxiety, and it just kind of goes with you. And
now even that could actually get out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
There is a healthy amount of
mm-hmm.
that fear, but then it can get out of proportion as well. I think any of them, they could be healthy, but if they're given too much attention and you allow it to consume you, it can be too much, and it can cross that line and become sin when it's controlling us. So what things do we tend to fear or have anxiety about the most? Either now or in the past. What are things that you fear the most?
Children.
You fear children.
Well, I'm just holding the baby.
Really?
It's okay, hold my
text. Anything else? I mean, there's lots of things.
I fear being pregnant, you know, like, because I had 8 miscarriages, so, you know, you get pregnant and you can't even enjoy the pregnancy because you live in fear every moment that it's not going to stay, you know,
right.
When you really have no control over it anyway.
Right, right. Anything else? I mean, we can just be, like, quick things, just call them out, things that you're fearful of now or were in the past fearful, things that you've experienced fear towards.
I fear that I'm not going to live up to other people's expectations of me, like say my husband's or my parents or church members or God.
Right.
I think I'm fear about not being a good mother to my son.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of your children's future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What others might think of me or, you know, how others perceive me.
Mm. Fear of man.
Death of a spouse.
Yeah.
Or a child.
Right, yes. Anything else?
I worked for the government for 10 years, and I'm afraid of them because of the things I know, and being in the military, there's a lot of darkness and secrets.
Wow. That's
and cover-ups.
Yeah. That's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We'll have to talk.
Record it.
Let me get my phone. No.
Okay.
I signed paperwork. Again. Okay.
So God has an answer for all those fears. And in your book, there's a list. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. How does that help? How does that verse help?
Tremendously. It's just such a visual. Here I go, Lord, with my thoughts here. I just take these anxieties and you take them. And the peace of God has so understanding. God's your husband. Even though that's the other one. But
right.
I love knowing
that.
I love knowing that he cares for me.
Mm. Like a good parent, like a good father. Yeah. How about be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How does that help?
Being thankful changes my attitude.
Mm.
I kind of look at it in a brighter light, like, oh, well, thanks for giving me kids. We know they're not behaving, but thank you for giving them to me.
That's true. If you
yeah,
take
you
that, right, if you take it seriously and you do what it says and you're thankful, yes, that's huge. How about do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How does that help?
It's a great comfort that you know that you're not alone, no matter what our mind thinks.
Yeah, and that's a key thing is in your mind,
mm-hmm.
guarding your mind. So does that mean that after reading these verses, does that mean that nothing bad will ever happen to us? Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Kind of a trick question. Nothing bad will ever happen to us. God promises that all things work together for good for us. So whatever happens to us is not bad. It is good. And we can trust God in that. And that's key. So no, nothing bad will ever happen to us. And that's a huge promise in Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. And that is our highest good, is to be conformed to the image of his son. So we may experience trials and difficulties and things like that, but they are not bad. They are good. And we have to trust God in them. Now, idolatry can cause fear. And that's what we all talked about, fear of losing a spouse, fear of losing a child. And those are legitimate fears because those things can happen. But if they are controlling us, we have to look deeper and see if those are idols. Are we loving them more than we love God? Because God may take them away from us, because that is what is best for us. But if we are fearing that, then we're not trusting God. That God knows what's best and God will do what's best. I love the quote over here. Worry assumes the possibility of control over the uncontrollable. The illusion of control lurks inside your anxiety. Anxiety and control are two sides of one coin. We want to control something. Since we can't control it, we worry about it. Have you ever thought, let me ask this,
right?
What do we actually have control over? Do we have control over our children? No. I mean, we can discipline them and try to influence them and mold them, but you don't actually have control over them. Do you have control over the weather? Whether your car's going to break down? Whether you have an accident? Whether your husband is going to leave you? What do you have control over? What do you actually have control over? that's it, pretty much, your response and yourself. So you can't actually control everything. So now, what is not within God's control? Is there anything that's not within God's control? No. He controls everything. And he is, as we talked about on Thursday night, a God of details. A sparrow doesn't fall from the sky without, apart from him, apart from his control, apart from his power and his knowing it and his being in control of it. So it's not that he's not paying attention, like he has the power, but he's not really paying attention, because he's always paying attention and he's everywhere and he sees everything and knows everything. So he does control everything. And the best part is that he has our best interest at heart, and that's what he's working on. So we really don't have any legitimate reason to ever be anxious if we are true believers. If you're an unbeliever, you should fear. You should fear greatly. But we should not. Okay. If you would have victory in this area, you must trust and obey your Creator. That is really the root of anxiety, is you're not trusting God. You're thinking God doesn't know what's best, or you're thinking, it's kind of funny, because if someone were to ask you that, you would answer properly. But in your heart, if you're struggling with fear and anxiety, what you're actually believing is probably not what you answered, because you're not trusting God. We need to take control of our thoughts and our minds when it wants to go to fear and anxiety. We need to be careful that what we're thinking is truth. And of course, we know where we go for truth is to the Word of God. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. 1 Timothy 4:7. We all know that, don't we? Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where the battle is. In your mind. I feel like a broken record, because every time I teach, I come back to the same thing. It's all in your mind. And the only way to think truth is to know truth. And the only way to know truth is to study the Word of God. And it's the same, kind of the same answer, the same drill for everything. But if you're like me, you need to hear it over and over again and be reminded of it.
Lisa brought up this verse. What's the verse about taking every thought captive?
Hebrews.
Like,
Second Corinthians. First Corinthians
10:13. That's not taking every thought. That is, no temptation is overtaking you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation is overtaking you, but such as is common to man.
What was the other Corinthians?
Second Corinthians 10:3-5.
Are you
singing a song?
You could.
So much else do
you have? I was
singing. Because you know I have all this in my mind.
Oh. I got the
Second Corinthians 10:5.
Okay.
But the truth is in my heart, so that's the most important thing.
But any Corinthians 10 is a good
lesson.
Yes, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Is that not our fears and anxieties? And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That is a really good point. The flesh is not being redeemed. So we, as long as we're in this world, we have to carry this dead flesh with us that wants to drag us down and wants to fill our mind with lies. So we have to battle against that until we're home with the Lord. What a relief that will be. Okay. So we did kind of already talk about what things make us most anxious. Actually, we should share. What are the things most in your life that make you anxious? Anybody want to volunteer?
I would say my kids' health. Definitely has been a trial. Once again, I have to keep those thoughts captive because I will go down that road. And, you know, recognizing that the Lord is sovereign and, you know, He's got their days numbered, which is so important too, because I don't know. For those of you that don't know, they just have light eyes. So, that's definitely been a fear that I have to battle daily.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be comforting. I know with Colgan and my kids, I've subbed all children's every 3 months. They all had something for years. And I just knew that because it was God's will, that I could just be faithful.
Yeah.
And it was comforting to me that I didn't have control because I would have worried so much more. It was very freeing, and they always said, "You're so relaxed." And I said, "I just rely on God. If God is handling this, I'm just marching along." So march.
That's a really, really good thought, Cheryl, that it is very comforting to know that we're not in control. We struggle to because we think we have control when we don't.
Right.
This when I was being prepped for bowel surgery.
Right.
I'm sitting there, you know, and they're like, "Oh, do you need something for, you know, anxiety?" I'm like, "No. Don't give me anything. I want clarity in my thinking until I go in there." Like, and they're kind of looking at me like, "Do you understand what you're facing?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do." But I know who's actually doing this operation.
Right. And the outcome. Not that it wasn't hard and there weren't times when I was fearful, but as a role, it just was very freeing to me to just totally rely on Him as I drove up the Skyway Bridge and with four little kids.
You know, and just a little side note here, it is not sin when those fears come upon us. But what do you do with that? Do you dwell on it and let it consume you, or do you do battle with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit? That's...
I would go through all the attributes of God. I carried a chart with me. And just keep going over them.
And I think also to combat that, like with thankfulness, like you shared, just in those moments, being like, "Okay, Lord, thank you for the situation." Because it obviously is all about my own heart, where I don't, you know, have faith, so it's teaching me, but just being thankful in those, and that definitely helps too.
Yourself.
This is good for me.
Right?
Yeah.
For Kristen,
huge.
You know, that's a hard one too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the miscarriages and not even being able to enjoy the pregnancies.
I wasn't in the same place when I went through all that. You know, it is. I look back and you can't have regrets because God uses all those things to grow you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, what a waste of good emotion. You know? You just waste so much energy on that you don't get to enjoy the here and now, you know?
And I don't know about you, but I had that situation as well. And you go to Psalms and I just thought, "Okay, David, I hear you crying out. I'm there." So we have a friend in Psalms, you know, when we are fearful and need to be on bended knee and need strength, we can watch David.
Actually, that's a good point as well. I was just thinking of Job.
Yeah, and he was my good friend too.
Yes.
And you're mine down in that well.
Yeah. But I mean, to lose everything,
lose
your 10 children all at once, I think. And your spouse. Emotionally and spiritually.
Emotional.
Yeah.
As long as you can't imagine your spouse screaming at you.
And I think that one of the reasons Job is my hero is because he never knew. He never knew until he got to heaven what that was all about. There was no reason. And I'm thankful, like, for most of the things I've been through, I can look back and see God's hand in it. And that is a huge comfort and helps me go forward knowing, okay, I see how God brought me through this hard thing and it was for my good and I see the good. Honestly. But for Job, he never knew that. He never knew. But still he trusted, you know, and I really don't want God to show up and put me in my place.
Right.
You know, like, the, I get it, God, you gave me the book of Job so that I don't have to be rebuked directly by you. Anybody else?
I think that for me there have been seasons of fear and seasons of trust. There was a time when Carl had three major things happen. He had kidney stone, he had prostate cancer, he had need for major heart surgery, and I felt an overwhelming sense of trust. But there are times when I'll go to bed at night and I'll go, you know, thinking about maybe some minutia that will keep me awake at night.
And why do you think that is?
I don't know. Lack of maybe being in the Word consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of confession.
Mm-hmm. I suspect when we have big things, we do what we ought to do, which is we go to the Word, we have people encouraging us, we know, we pray, we trust the Lord. But then on the little things, we just don't do that.
Yeah.
And then
we think we have control over the little things.
Yeah.
And we know we don't have control over prostate cancer.
Right.
Mm.
But we're deceived about the little things.
Yeah.
That's true.
And we don't arm ourselves.
Mm. Yeah.
We don't pull out the sword because we think it's just a little battle.
Yep.
We don't need the big weapon. We always need the big weapon. We always need the sword of the Spirit.
And sometimes those little things can cause us far more anxiety than the big things.
Yeah.
So, or speaking for myself, that's happening.
Second.
Yeah. Yes. Anybody else? Has anybody ever experienced, like Cheryl, victory over that fear? And can share how you achieved that victory?
I think it goes back to what you were saying, and obviously this is still a battle, but like one of the biggest things that helped me, and I've talked to them about it, like meditating on God's character,
mm-hmm.
like during those situations, because it's like so much bigger. All these things, and that so recalibrates my mind. Like, wow, like, really, you're so trustworthy when you go through all those attributes. And when I'm disciplining myself to do that,
mm-hmm.
then I am thankful, then I am joyful even in those trials.
Right.
So
right. All of a sudden, God gets really big.
Yeah. And,
we realize it's okay.
Right.
Yes, and we get very small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's perspective.
Yes.
A lot of times, 100 years from now, is it going to matter? Perspective.
Right.
I've had to do that.
Right.
Or once we're in glory.
Yeah.
Maybe the situation isn't going to matter, but our response will.
That's why I thought your question here in the book was good about a week, a month, or a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I journal. I don't know about you. I try to go back a year from now and look. Not every day, but on certain days. And you really can see God's hand then when you see what you were praying about, what you were struggling about. And then you think, that was so answered, that.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. I mean, it's almost exciting to
yeah.
go back and put your true worries and struggles and whatnot down and find the scripture. What about you? I just try to find the scripture that addresses that as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to disappear by the time you're done writing it.
That's true. And then the more we do that, the more we see. I think that's why God wants us to pray.
Right.
It's not that we're manipulating him.
No.
It's that he wants us to recognize when he answers us.
Right.
You know? So when he answers us, and the more we see that, the more we come to trust him and understand that he really is, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Right.
So,
well, like 1 Peter, he cares for us.
Right.
He wants us to trust. It's kind of like, yes, our children, trust me when you jump in the pool.
Right.
Or when you do, trust me, jump in my arms.
Trust me when I discipline you.
Yeah. I think another factor of it, too, is it's the self-induced trial of how much we think about the thing that's making us anxious and how it's affecting us and our life.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being focused on, this is hard, but I know God is going to use this, and how can I use this to glorify
just know when I'm anxious about something, I'm just focused on, oh, this is making my life uncomfortable, I don't like this. Instead of, God, you're pressing me right now, I'm in the pressure cooker, so make me like Christ, help me pass the test and endurance. Like, I think about that sermon that Eric preached from Philippians, the Art of Contentment sermon, how it's like God's school of contentment I'm going through. So I'm in the test right now, so how am I going to respond to this, about these, all these things that are popping up that I'm feeling anxious about. So we make it that much harder for ourselves when that's our focus, instead of how to glorify Christ in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Our focus, our perspective is very important.
And one of the things, I mean, just a little thing that I, you know, the Lord showed me along the way is when I share, you know, if I share things about my life with you guys, I'm going to say, Julie, you feel fearful about that. I am. You know, and so sometimes we don't even realize that we're anxious or fearful until we're talking to each other. And we call each other out on it because we're deceived oftentimes. Oh, that really is a big fear. I need to deal with that. I need to go take that to the Lord, or your sister helps you. So that was really revealing to me when I admitted something once and everyone's like, that's your fear? Oh, okay, wow. So it's good. That's why it's good to share with your sisters.
Yep.
And husband.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's true.
True. Anybody else?
I had a fear of being single. I knew that God had a plan for me, and I knew when, even as a young girl, that I was going to get married by 23. That's it. And you know, I felt like I needed to get married, and I tried to do things my way. You know, try to talk to guys and try to, you know, do it my way, and nothing was working. And I just said, God, do something. I remember I cried out to the Lord and I said, Lord, I feel like I'm ready to be a wife or married, and the Lord did provide. And it just happened without me realizing it, though, because we just oftentimes saw each other in church, and I now look back and I'm like, wow, God brought me through this. And God did answer my prayer, even though I was impatient. God, it took me long, and he helped me.
That's neat. I know, I'm glad God is so patient with us. So patient.
I love how God continually brings back the same things that you haven't conquered in your life until you finally get a master of it. And then just when you think you have, it comes back around again. God shows you, hey, you don't really have that master. That's the case for me anyways.
Yeah, I think we have weaknesses that we carry throughout our lives. Tendencies toward certain sins and toward certain weaknesses. And yeah, I just chalk it up to the unredeemed flesh. And God's not in the process of redeeming the flesh, so yeah. Anybody else? Come on, I'd love to hear
what was the
stories of victory. Well, it can be a fear that you struggle with, or one you've gotten victory over,
okay.
And how you got victory over it.
I don't know what that question was. But that was good input.
Okay. Do you guys have any particular verses that help you when you're fearful or anxious? That's the next question.
I don't know the reference, and I know, Christian, you've had it on some of your responses.
Isaiah 26:3.
Okay, yeah.
And steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you.
Right. So I personalize it, and I say, okay, you Lord, will keep me in perfect peace. Let's see, how do I say that? You will keep in perfect peace, Edie, whose mind is stayed on you because she trusts in you.
Mm-hmm.
So I make that my prayer.
Mine is Romans 8:28. I remember specifically coming from Arminianism into doctrines of grace, and finally for the first time understanding the sovereignty of God. After being a believer for years, not understanding that. And it was like being born again, because my conversion was really truly 180 degrees, completely different person. And then understanding the sovereignty of God was the same thing, because it just took, I'm like, okay, God is in, he is in control. I am not in control. And everything, Romans 8:28, all things work together for my good. Because that's how God is, and that's the way God works, and God loves me. So those two things were huge to me, just huge. You know, I don't get it, God. I don't see how this is for good, but I trust, because that's what you said. So it is true, and that's huge for me.
Does anyone else ever find that it, you have the knowledge of God and you believe those things about God, but sometimes it's hard to get the feelings to come in line with that? Because that's where I struggle the most. I know these things, I believe these things, but I just sometimes have a difficult time getting my feelings to line up with what I believe and know about God.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge one. And we have to be careful not to let our feelings lead us, but to lead our feelings. By saturating our minds with scripture and meditating on it, that's huge, because that's where the battle is. It's always there in our minds. So anybody else have advice for that sort of a situation?
I think in that scenario, you have two options. Either I'm going to stay in fear or just trust God's words. So there's no other option. So I don't want to stay in this fear feeling, so I'm just going to trust the Lord. Like sometimes you see the people that that we know, sometimes, well, often her husband passed away, leave her with the three young child, like young children, three under three.
Oh,
and this couple, we know them very well. We used to, you know, Bible study together. Sometimes when things like that happen, you know, I think of myself, things could happen to, same thing could happen to me. What am I gonna do? Okay, there is, I trust God, He will take care of us. And you stay in a fear or just trusting Him. Either He have different plans and or He's gonna carry you through it. He will give you strength when the things happen to you.
Right, and not before.
Yeah.
Have you all read The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom?
Mm-hmm.
And she's fearful over losing her parents after going to the funeral of the little infant. And her father says, when do I give you your train ticket?
Mm-hmm.
She says, when I get on the train. He said, don't run ahead of God.
Mm-hmm.
He'll give you what you need when you need it, and not before.
Right.
So if you're sitting and thinking, I don't have the strength to go through losing my spouse or losing this or doing that. Well, no, apparently you don't, because that's not happened to you.
Right.
But if God chooses to take you through that, He will give you what you need when you need it and not before. So,
and the biblical basis for that, they found in Matthew 6:33-34.
Mm-hmm.
But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I like 34 the best. It's so true. But it is, and it is. You know, it's interesting, it says the cure of anxiety at the top of that, but, and I know the context is really also for finances. You know, how many times have we, through our lives, had, you know, anxiety over that? But the principle is still the same for just about anything.
This is Ted Collins teaching on the ocean in the Bible. It's very helpful to me too. Like, my feelings don't really matter. I put too much placement on what my feelings were conjuring up certain feelings. Not, I just need to obey.
Like what Pastor Eric said. Like, you need to switch your what ifs to even ifs. Right? Like, just, that's such a, because we as women, I know I struggle with that growing up, or even just being a young mom. Just, what if this happens? What if this happens? And just, again, recalibrate my, like, even if, Lord, you're still the same.
Yeah.
I need to trust you. So it's so much.
Definitely. Okay. I trust, did you all have a chance to look up the verses on the bottom of, what page is that?
39.
Were there any in particular that you found helpful? Oh, wait. We did skip a little part. Let's back up a little bit. Sorry about that. Right above that. Fear and anxiety often are found as the root beneath the fruit of anger. Can any of you think back to a time you were angry and trace it back to fear? You want to share?
Every year, Jeff and I have a disagreement about fireworks because I just think it's really silly to give a 4 and a 5 year old, you know, hot, burning hot things and wave at each other. And he's like, it's cool. So every year there's this tension of like, I have to trust, you know, him and God that it's going to be okay, but it's like, I really don't want to play with fireworks. So there's that fear, that tension there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. I said to him this year, like, can we go do fireworks? Like, watch the fireworks? I want to go. He wants to do them at home ourselves. He said, let's not talk about that.
So
good that we're doing this right before.
Yeah, I was going to say, so how could you address that?
I need to trust the Lord and trust my husband that he's ruled that it's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So be at peace with that.
Well, all right then. Okay, so that went up.
Yeah. We'll go get sparklers at Walmart.
Yeah. Let's test your
cool
appliance.
It's just a bigger brand.
I was going to say having suits for the kids and a big bucket of water.
Don't
worry, they're all the way.
Put her on the couch. Okay, what did you clean
apologize to her. I said, I'm sorry, I should not do that to you. I said, I should be more gentle, gentle mother. I apologize, David, twice today. So everything that you're saying, I understand. So, yeah.
I think all of us as moms have been there, done that, are still there. I mean, still there, do that from time to time. But that's huge, what you said, apologizing, you know, asking for forgiveness and repenting of, that's really important, really important. And I like that about letting your children hold you accountable.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's coming.
Oh, she's happy.
Oh, she's fine.
But that takes a lot of humility to allow your children to say, can I make you a cup of tea?
Sometimes it's not allowed. When they got older, they confronted me.
Yeah. Well, they don't ask to be in respect.
Oh, and they were respectful. Yeah. Which is I never thought of the cup of tea thing.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
Because it takes like 3 minutes to brew.
Yeah.
Time
I'm just thinking in terms of the
why is
rule.
It happen?
Mom, you're anxious, you know.
Yeah.
Code word. Yeah, code word.
Make sure they understand that when they get older, right?
Yeah.
And my sons go, do this, Mama.
Yes.
Still trying to control.
Right. Or I have. And
absolutely.
Slows you down.
Absolutely. Anybody else want to share?
I think that's the most beautiful, like the beautiful part of that. If we do mess up, like you were saying, the reconciliation of coming to humility. It's just, I know with our kids, I let them know like daily. I was like, I need the Savior just like you. I'm not any different. And it just brings it down to their level because I'm trying to teach them that. But then when they see it in me, it's like, this is real. I need Christ, you know, and I get angry, you know. Because you try to teach them because Andrew has called me out. I'm like, Mom, you get angry. Like, ouch. You know, like, yeah, you're right, you know, but you have the choice to. Yeah. So they get to see that gospel right there. So that's sweet.
And Andrew's sharp.
Yeah.
He's sensitive.
He is very sensitive.
Okay. So, which of these, is there one in there that you find particularly helpful? Or even another one that you want to add to that list? Because we are adding to the list. That is okay.
I think the cease striving to know that I'm God is focusing on God stopping.
And the striving, that really, the striving is really that, you know, fear, anxiety driving us to do, and try to control, and that's a good one. Cease. Stop. But it's not just stop. It's know that I am God, which is the flip side of that. You're over here striving, not getting anywhere, and what you really need to do is stop and think about me, God, and know I am God. So that's the remedy.
And then if you take that further, and at the end of verse 10, I will be exalted among the nations, I will be exalted in the earth. It's there's God's ultimate purpose right there, his own glory.
Right.
I know a passage that's been very comforting to me with having Priscilla, and just I think this would be helpful to anyone that has a disabled child in general, is John 9, just talking when the blind man comes and they ask Jesus, you know, who sinned? This man, his parents, who sinned, that this happened. Right? And Jesus just says, no one sinned. This is for God's glory.
Right.
And like, just, that's so comforting. Because you're like, God doesn't have a purpose in this to crush me.
Right.
So that I will be sanctified, so I will be glorified in this situation, and just how encouraging that is, like, to my heart. I go back to that again and again and think about that when I'm discouraged and I feel that fear of like, okay, what is your future going to be like? And, you know, just the worries about the what ifs. And it's like, no, God is meticulously sovereign and he knows exactly what he's doing in this situation. He's going to guide us. And I take it every one day at a time. He's giving me grace for today.
And he doesn't make mistakes.
Because
that's what I've come to. He doesn't make mistakes. He created our children exactly the way they are.
Yep. Our
Whether
system.
We like it or not. For his glory.
I was just going to say, R.C. Sproul, I think, said there's not one maverick molecule in the universe.
Yep.
It's like, when you think about that, you just know every single thing has been planned for the beginning of our life.
Right. Right. Anybody else on those?
I don't know if you wanted to add to 2 Corinthians 10:5, where we destroy the arguments and every lofty thing. I don't see it in here. As far as keeping those thoughts captive.
Yeah, either we control ourselves or other things will control us. Anybody else? Anyone in particular there?
I find great comfort in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. I find that very comforting.
My favorite is Psalm 23. Being in the care of the shepherd. He's calling me.
You writing all these down, Joe?
Yes.
I think Genesis 4:6, when the Lord said directly to Cain, you know, why has your countenance fallen? And I just, you know, when I'm giving my sons counsel, I say God was there. He told Cain exactly what to do, and you can trust God's word. And I just feel like studying creation and the universe really puts us in our place, and these problems that we're having has really, you know, I just feel like going back to the beginning and studying Genesis has really helped us get over these fears and anxieties that, you know, we struggle with get the to-do list done. And it, you know, God said to him, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And, you know, maybe I'm taking it out of context, but I just feel like, you know, God spoke directly to him and told Cain exactly what to do, and he chose not to
listen, but in giving my boys wisdom, it's like you have a choice to let this, you know, these fears and anxieties about your plans, you know.
And that also would be helpful, like Shannon brought up before, about your emotions.
Yeah.
Because it really addresses that. If you will do well, then your countenance will be lifted up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sin's desire is for you, and you must master it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
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 That's good.
And that's covered in Psalm 42 as well. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you come? Why have you become disturbed within? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him. And one of them, it's there, I think, three or four times. And one of them says, "And I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence." So remembering that He is.
Well, and there it is again, the help of my countenance.
Right.
Then Psalm 37, the ultimate in what it's all about. Are you all, did you find that helpful to highlight all the action verbs in there? Did you remember what an action verb was? Highlight, wait, that's not an act, that's a being verb. I'm like, I don't want to do grammar. Yes, this psalm is all about just, you don't look at other people and what they're going through. You don't worry. You do what's right. And God is there. And I love where he says, verse 25, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. That goes along with seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. All these things will be added to you.
Can I share my story about this? Mm-hmm. Some of you have obviously heard this before. The reason why this even made it in here, when Jacob was a baby, so we had four, I was in charge of the women's conference, like the main person in charge, and I was started homeschooling in kindergarten and first grade that year. I had a 2.5-year-old and a newborn, and got through the women's conference just fine. And about a month later, I started. I couldn't catch my breath. I couldn't breathe. It was like a month after. And so I went to the doctor, and because it was random, I couldn't chart anything about it. I went to the doctor, and he said, you have acid reflux, and gave me a prescription. I'm like, that's odd. I have acid. I just can't breathe. How can acid be going in there without me feeling it? Blah, blah, blah. And then I remembered that my chiropractor, who was an elder at Grace Emmanuel Bible Church where we went, had kept people out of surgery, out of certain medications, etc. So I decided to go to him and see if he had any thought about this medication that I didn't make any mistake because I didn't have any acid. So I went to him, he's one of the elders over there, and he said, Jill, this is not a physical problem. This is a spiritual problem. And he left and went to his office and he came back with a copy from his Bible, Psalm 37, and he gave it to me and he said, pull out the action verbs and go home and work on this. And that has so impacted me. You know, that was the cure. God's word was the cure. And there was one other time since then, since we lived here, where I was like, oh my goodness, I can't. okay, what's going on? Okay, this is anxiety, you know? And it was interesting because Mark and I talked through it, and I'm like, I was done with the conference. Why was I, you know, what was going on that it happened after? And Mark said, you know, what happens is when you're so busy working on something else, the other things that are important often get pushed down. So now you're playing catch up with everything else that was important too. So here I'm trying to school my kids, and I remember sitting there and Dan's like, and I'm nursing, and Lizzie's screaming, and I'm thinking about my closets and how messy they are. You know, and so those things pile up. You've shoved aside the important stuff for other important stuff. And so then, so Mark and I were talking about how it came after. And so I've watched that pattern throughout my life and even other people's lives. So that's why this is in here, because it's just so helpful. This kept me off of, you know, medication. So I want to share that with those of you who haven't heard that story.
This psalm was my psalm when I was in the deepest, darkest pit of my life, about 10 years ago. There just seemed no way out at all. It's a long story. But I would go back to this psalm over and over again because there was a very, very wicked man oppressing us. And it was just overwhelming. And I would just sit and read this psalm again and again and just think, God knows all this. God's in control. We need to make sure that we are doing what is right. And then God will protect us. And this man is the wicked. And now, 10 years later, guess what?
What?
We don't know where he is. His place is not found. In other words, he is gone.
Yes.
God has kind of wiped him out from, and he used to be a very, he was building this internet presence and all kinds of things, and just looked like he was in control of it all and very well off. And, you know, I look back and I'm like, God kept us through all of it, and God did not take anything away from us, even though I almost died from a severe infection, and the doctor said this is because of the stress. I ended up in an intensive care unit with sepsis. I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. And I look back, and God was so faithful through all of it, through all of it. And it is true. He was spreading himself like a luxuriant tree, and now you look for him, and you can't find him. He is no more. I mean, I really don't know where he is. And here we are, still here, still in our home, still have our business, and God has blessed abundantly. And I'm like, oh. So yeah, this is a very special psalm to me, too. It is 37, yeah.
Oh my.
I still remember sitting in your living room and going through that psalm. Lay's Bible study, it came out.
Yeah.
God is so good to look back and remember those times.
And be thankful for it.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the real victory. Okay, does anybody have anything else to add? Because I was thinking we wouldn't fill up the time, and here we filled up the time. So. Anything else? Words of wisdom? Okay. I'm going to
ask later.
Okay. I'm going to close this in prayer. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, truly you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. And Father, you have a cure for fear, for anxiety, for anything that may come our way in this wicked, evil world, Lord. You are the answer. Your word has the answer for all our issues and problems and everything, Father. We thank you so much that you love us more than we can even begin to comprehend, and that you are completely in control of everything, sovereignly watching over. And Father, that everything that comes our way is for our good, to conform us to the image of your Son, which is our highest good, and for your glory. Father, we thank you. We praise you. And Father, as we leave here, please help us to remember what we've learned, what we've talked about, Help us to keep these verses handy, Father, for those times when we may be anxious or fearful or even angry, or, Father, find ourselves wrestling with an idol. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to faithfully turn to your word, that you would help us to faithfully pray and cast our anxieties on you because you care for us. We love you, Lord. Please keep us safe as we go from here. And even if you don't, Father, we know that you will take care of us and that you will perfect us until the day we come home to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.